Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. As you know, normally I talk about politics and policy, world affairs and elections and such things. But sometimes social issues are best expressed or not expressed through, yes, celebrities. Now, I'm not a celebrity kind of guy. That's not something that I normally talk about on the air. But when a celebrity hits the right note, or doesn't, I do think it's something to talk about. And Matt Damon's recent interview with Elizabeth Day led to quite a stir on Twitter, on everything else, because of what he had to say about actors. And at least by implication, probably by more than implication, about gay actors, gay and lesbian actors. Matt Damon said, "You're a better actor the less people know about you," and used as context, the gay actor Rupert Everett, who could not get roles, largely, people felt, because he was out as a gay man. Now, this is back in the 1990s. I suspect our society has changed a lot since then. But to address what Matt Damon said, what he meant, and what he should mean in this regard, I've invited the author of the piece. She is an award-winning author. She's a staff feature writer for the Observer newspaper in the UK. And her third novel, Paradise City, will be available in the United States this December. Elizabeth, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on the air. Now, this isn't normally a topic I deal with. Like I said, I'm only talking about politics and policy. But this is something that is political, actually, because it suggests something that has long been a secret in Hollywood. And some would say that Matt Damon was simply saying the truth, the ugly truth that it is, which is that actors are afraid to come out for fear that they're going to lose roles.
Actually, I think I would have been delighted if he'd gone that far, because I would have felt that that was really engaging with an issue that is complicated and difficult and traumatic for people suffering the indignity of silence. But I asked him specifically about whether he felt it was harder for gay actors to be open about their sexuality, because he famously, as a straight guy, has played gay roles. So in the Steven Soderbergh TV drama, where he played Liberace's lover, and he played the character in The Talented Mr. Ripley, which had definite homoerotic undertones. And I think he was saying a number of things. He started off by saying, as you rightly quote, that Rupert Everett, it would be hard not to argue that Rupert Everett took a hit for being open about his sexuality. And I would agree with Matt Damon about that, because you've never seen Rupert Everett as a sort of bulging bicep action figure. He generally has played quite close to type. And then he went on to say, but you know what? I think it should be equal for gay and straight. I think that actors should be private about their sexuality if they want to be, because in effect, that makes them more believable in the roles that they're playing, because we know less about them. And that was what he was saying. But that comment obviously has wider implications.
Let's unpack all of this, because there's a lot there and we have a lot of time. That's one of the advantages of radio. Let's start with sort of pre-Matt Damon. It is certainly true, as an objective fact, whatever we think of how the world should be, I don't think anyone can deny that the world, at least in the past, was a world where straight heterosexual actors and actresses could very easily step into gay and lesbian and bisexual, even transgender roles, and do so with very little, indeed probably no harm to their careers. In fact, oftentimes they won Academy Awards for taking on, for playing against type, for playing a gay or lesbian figure when they themselves aren't. But the converse was always not true. Rock Hudson, quite famously, was a very famous leading man. As you say, I don't know about a biceps action hero, but he was, in his time, really the action hero. He was the leading figure, the leading romantic male role of his day. And I think it was a real shock when he came out, actually forced to come out via AIDS. I don't know that he would have voluntarily done so if he hadn't succumbed to the disease. And everyone was like, whoa, this very, very masculine leading man figure playing all these heterosexual roles actually was gay, was sort of a stunner. And I think you would agree with me that particularly if we go back to the 80s and the 90s and certainly before, gay and lesbian actors, though I would argue, and we'll get to this, that it's harder for gay men than for lesbian women. But in any case, certainly gay men had to hide their sexual orientation to get those leading figure male roles in Hollywood.
I totally agree with you. And I do think the world is changing, and thank goodness for that. But it's not reflected. The pace of change in the real world is ironically not reflected in Hollywood. So although we're seeing now more gay, transgender actors coming to the forefront on television and in series like Orange is the New Black on Netflix, that has yet to translate, I think, to big screen roles. And that's why you see people like Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger taking on gay roles in Brokeback Mountain. And you're right that I think it is slightly easier, although who am I to comment, because I've never had to live through something this difficult, but it's slightly easier for gay women, and that's why Jodie Foster is a notable exception to this rule.
Sex and the City actress, the redhead whose name escapes me at
Cynthia
the moment.
Nixon.
Yes, thank you. Cynthia Nixon, who played a very heterosexual woman, although I think she's bi. I don't know that she's really lesbian, but the point is that there was barely even discussion about it. I know that when Sean Hayes, the actor who played the famously gay character Jack in Will and Grace, tried very hard to find straight roles, actually on television, he had difficulty doing so. And it's always hard because acting is subjective, and you obviously want someone who's good at the role. If someone is a flamboyant character, totally apart from their sexual orientation, that may not work for a certain archetype, maybe a Western movie or something. But as Rock Hudson certainly made clear, you not all gay people fit that stereotype. So I guess my question to you is, at least in the past, it's ironic to me that Hollywood, which is famously liberal, given all this money to Democrats and liberal causes, seem to be some of the most homophobic on screen. And I wonder if Hollywood is just sort of playing to America's own prejudices, that they would say, well, I'm not prejudiced, but those people in Nebraska are, and that's why we can't sell this movie in Nebraska unless we hide ourselves.
Absolutely. I mean, I've never been to Nebraska. I'm sure they're lovely people, but...
I drove through once.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah, I did.
I bow to your superior knowledge. but I do think that is a huge issue for Hollywood, is that studio bosses think they know what the audience wants. And historically, they have shown themselves that what sells is straight, predominantly white males in leading roles. And that's why we're seeing just a plethora of comic book franchises at the moment. And actually, I think that we're missing out on an opportunity here, because I think that the demographic is changing. And I think that's why Netflix and Amazon are able to respond more quickly to that changing demographic. And that's why there is more creative risk taking on those platforms. But I absolutely think it's a kind of... it's probably not latent homophobia within individuals in the industry. It's a sort of second-guessing about what they think movie-going audiences want.
Right. I'm not prejudiced, but that person's prejudiced, so I have to be prejudiced in order to satisfy that person's prejudice. And actually, we see this in all kinds of contexts. We've seen it in the military. It's part of group dynamics. One of the interesting things about the marriage equality movement is when everyone thought that everyone opposed marriage equality, most people, including politicians, including liberal politicians like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, opposed it. And as soon as they saw the American people start to tip the scale at 50.1%, now suddenly they're all for it, leading the way. It's I guess the difference between leaders and followers. I want to go, though, now into Matt Damon. So Matt famously said in your interview with him, and by the way, I want to congratulate you on that interview. I haven't seen many interviews of Matt Damon, particularly, and I'm not the kind that reads the People magazine and so forth, but I really like that you went beyond the superficial and really dealt with some hard topics. And I'm really just
thank you.
To congratulate
so
you on that.
Thank you.
Because I'm someone who, like I said, I deal with politics and policy. I don't read the celebrity stuff. So the fact that your interview came to my attention is credit to you. But he says that when he and Ben Affleck first brought their movie, that they had such a great camaraderie. They've known each other since they were kids. They're clearly very close. They clearly love each other, heterosexually, that people thought they were gay merely because the whole idea of two male collaborators working this closely together, oh, well, they must be gay. And ironic, I wonder how much of Matt Damon pulling against that obviously wrong stereotype, he almost went too far in the other direction.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I hadn't actually thought about that until recently, until the sort of fallout from that interview became apparent. I was really surprised when he said that about the rumors that circulated about him and Ben. And I actually say in the piece what I said on tape, which is really? I mean, there were people out there saying that. And he was like, yeah. And then that put us in a really difficult position because we didn't want to deny it and thereby imply that we thought being gay was a bad thing. And then he started talking lots about the issue in a more broad respect. He was saying, I think it's great that we've got marriage equality. And that's what then led me into the gay actor question specifically. And I think it's, to be fair to Matt Damon, this was a 45-minute interview in a junket scenario where there was one journalist after another asking him a thousand questions that he's answered already before about The Martian and what he would be like if he lived on Mars. And in the heat of the moment, in that kind of situation, it possibly is hard to express yourself with exactly the nuance and clarity that you want to get across.
You caught him out of left field. You sort of gave him one that he wasn't expecting.
Yes, I probably did. But he did talk at length about it. I mean, he didn't shut down the question, which is something I'm very grateful to him for, because I think most movie stars in that situation possibly would have said no comment or something really bland. And
right.
Actually, he really was trying to engage.
Well, let's go to what he said, because there's been, of course, a real controversy over it, and some would argue that he's dug himself a bit deeper about it. But if you try to take it, and it's impossible because it was in the context of gay actors. But if you try to take it out of that context, completely out of it, and simply deal with his point, which is, I think the less an audience knows about an actor's private life, the better. That in and of itself isn't particularly controversial, right?
No, it's not. I suppose it's ironic that he was saying that in the context of giving me an interview about his life to promote a film.
Well, that's true.
That's a lot of a modern movie star, right? I mean, he probably doesn't want to be in that situation. But no, that in itself is not that controversial. I've heard other people say it.
And in that junket, I assume people were asking him about his private life and his family and all these things that ironically he seems to imply gay actors can't talk about.
Yes. Yeah, I guess they would have been. That is it in a nutshell, is that although I've heard other people say, you know, I don't want to talk about my private life because as an actor it's important to be mysterious, it's a specific context in which he said it, which was very much gay actors and sexuality should be private. And I think he was trying to say, you know, so nosy journalists like you don't ask about it, whether you're gay or straight. But actually, and when I heard him say that, I thought, yeah, I can sort of see where he's coming from. And I came out of the interview thinking Matt Damon is a good guy. He is a good guy with his heart in the right place. But it was only afterwards that I really thought about what he said.
I'll tell you what, Elizabeth, I want to take a break, and then I want to get back to sort of the fallout from what he said. Let me just have two things on people's minds as we go to commercial break. One is Harper Lee, the author of To Kill a Mockingbird, famously reclusive, hated all interviews. Most seem to think she only released her second book because she's so elderly that basically her dementia has prevented her from stopping this, that she didn't want the second book out. And Marshawn Lynch, completely different character, Marshawn Lynch, football player, who did not want to give interviews and only was there because otherwise he'd be fined. So some people do succeed in being reclusive. The difference, I think, and we'll get back to this with Elizabeth when we come back, is Matt Damon being willing to talk about his private life, unlike Marshawn Lynch, unlike Harper Lee, but at the same time suggesting that others can't. There's where I think he got in trouble. If you want to call in, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. My guest is Elizabeth Day, who really asked some very interesting questions of the famous actor Matt Damon that we're still talking about. And Elizabeth, first of all, I want to thank you for agreeing to go on a little bit longer. It's such a fascinating discussion. I wanted to continue it a bit longer.
Pleasure.
Were you surprised by the fallout from your interview with Matt Damon?
I was surprised. I knew that what he had said about gay actors was really interesting and newsworthy. I was quite surprised at the scale of it. And I think it's because I write for a British paper, although I'm currently based in Los Angeles, but my paper comes out on a Sunday. It came out on Sunday morning, and there was lots of nice feedback on Twitter from people who enjoyed the interview, and obviously the normal internet trolling. But then it was quite quiet, and it wasn't until the following day, really, and Sunday night, when America picked it up, that it became bigger in scale. And I was extremely surprised to find the interview discussed on The Ellen Show. I mean, for me, it was a personal highlight because I love The Ellen Show.
Did America respond differently from Britain? Did the British not even notice the controversial elements?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to speak to the whole of Britain.
Well, obviously, but just in terms of your audience.
Yeah, no, it seems like it was very much picked up in America more than in Britain. And then Britain followed suit. And then we started having an incredibly interesting discussion about it, which made me think myself. It made me look at my own kind of take on it. Because initially my take had been, oh, he was a good guy. He didn't really mean to say gay actors should stay in the closet, which was how it was picked up by Salon. And then actually, I posted something on my personal Facebook page, and a friend of mine, who is a brilliant journalist in the UK and who also happens to be gay, said, actually, do you know what? I think this is misunderstanding the issues. It's all very well for a straight actor to say you can be mysterious about your sexuality, but that's because they are the majority. They are the default. It makes it harder when people stay silent on their sexuality for people to be out, and it makes it harder because there are fewer role models.
That's exactly right. I mean, coming out is an amazingly personal but also an amazingly political act. I would argue that coming out of the closet is the single most important thing in the gay rights movement, that more than the activists, more than the protests, more than laws and court cases, that coming out changed minds and coming out not just personally, but in Hollywood, on TV, Will and Grace, the real world, showing gay and lesbian people to be just like other people, only with a different sexual orientation. I would argue that it's been profoundly political, and I'm curious whether Matt Damon really has thought through and maybe changed his mind about what he said. We'll get to more of that with Elizabeth right after this.
Who says nerds can't be fun? It's Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. My guest is Elizabeth Day. She is the award-winning author and staff feature writer for the Observer newspaper in the UK, the United Kingdom. Her third novel, Paradise City, will be available in the United States this December. She is also the author of a very controversial piece on actor Matt Damon. Now, folks know I don't do a lot of celebrity journalism, but when a celebrity brings up social issues that I think are important to talk about, I will. And I give a lot of credit to Elizabeth Day for following up on her interview and asking him those tough questions. Matt Damon, in the interview, talked all about his wife and his kids and his very very nice heterosexual life. He's got four daughters. He's a family man. He talks about being separate from his wife. All these things that apparently he doesn't think a gay actor should talk about. Not because he's anti-gay. I'll be very clear about that. But because he's afraid, for maybe the same reasons they were afraid 30, 40, 50 years ago, or maybe even today, in Hollywood, to let gay actors, let lesbian actors talk about their quite ordinary family life that I'm sure in most cases is just as ordinary as Matt Damon, because they might be knocked out of leading roles. Matt Damon says, quote, "You're a better actor the less people know about you," unquote, which makes sense if you're a recluse, if you're the author of To Kill a Mockingbird, or if you're Marshawn Lynch, who doesn't want to talk about football because he doesn't like to talk to the press. It makes a lot less sense in the political sphere of actors trying to say, judge me for my acting, don't judge me for my sexual orientation. At any rate, it became such a big thing, and Elizabeth Day's article became so big nationwide, that finally Matt Damon did appear on Ellen to try to stem the criticism. Let's see if he was successful. Let's play the clip.
Heard about this morning. If you want to address somehow, it's like when we do interviews, you say something and then people write it, and it depends on it's out of context and it gets twisted around, and something you said is getting twisted around, and I want you to address it.
Yeah, it was just in an interview with The Guardian that I literally just found out too, but it was that I was talking about actors are more effective when you know less about their personal lives. And was talking about it in the context of when Ben and I first started, and people wrote all these articles when Good Will Hunting came out that we were gay because it was two guys who wrote the script, and feeling like, oh, well, we can't even like then you have to address it, and then you would, and then it's like, well, I'm not going to throw my friends under the bus who are gay and act like it's some kind of disease. You know, how do you even address it? And so you're always in these kind of weird things, but in this day and age, like, I said this thing to The Guardian, and it got turned into, and I was just trying to say, actors are more effective when they're a mystery, right? And it, somebody picked it up and said, I said gay actors should get back in the closet, which is like, I mean, and what's, it's stupid, but it is, it's painful when things get said that you don't believe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it gets represented that's what you believe, because
right.
Nobody in the blogosphere, there's no real penalty for just taking the ball and running with it. You know what I mean? You're just trying to get people to click onto your
thing. Sure.
So
and it gets a lot of attention because someone mentioned it to me this morning, and I know you, and I know you're not that guy,
right.
And so I just wanted you to be able to.
Well, thank you for
yeah.
that. Yeah.
And it shocks me that you and Ben are not gay, but I think.
Well,
I mean, if you want to deny it and keep your your mystery and your
yeah,
marriage.
Yeah, we're trying.
And your,
we're trying.
Your
I mean,
daughters.
You know.
So, Elizabeth Day, the author of the piece, how did Matt Damon do? I mean, he basically seems to be saying you took him out of context.
Well, I'd like to give Matt Damon the credit here and the benefit of the doubt, because I think what he was saying was that he wasn't disputing the original quotes and how they appeared in my interview, but that he claimed they were then being picked up by what he quaintly refers to as the blogosphere and taken out of context. That annoys me. I mean, that is something that celebrities tend to do when they've said something they wish they hadn't, and they claim that it's been taken out of context and it's all the media's fault. I definitely did not take those quotes out of context. The context was we were talking about gay actors and whether it was harder for an actor who was gay to be open about that and still have a gamut of roles offered to him or her. I think, you know, what he was saying after that was that there were certain websites that put their own interpretation on what he was saying, but the quotes themselves are not disputed and were in context.
He had an option, it seems to me, for quite easy damage control. And I want to say, I certainly don't think Matt Damon is homophobic, at least certainly not consciously, intentionally so. Perhaps subconsciously so. We'll get to that in a minute. But it strikes me that the easy damage control statement was this. He could say, look, I think it's a shame but too often true that in Hollywood, that when gay actors and lesbian actors do what I just did, talk about my wife and my kids, that they can be harmed. And I think that's a terrible thing. And I think it should stop. But I can't deny the reality of it all. And for them, perhaps it is better for the audience to know less about them if they don't want to take risks. And I don't like that that's the way it works, but that's the way society is. You know, I'm not a racist, but society is racist. I'm not homophobic, but society is homophobic. He could have said that quite easily. He didn't quite say that, though.
I know, it's interesting. I totally agree with you. And I remember thinking at the time of my original interview with him that it was a shame he didn't go further, that it was a shame he hadn't said, yes, it is harder, and I hate that that's the case. Because that would be a step on the road to being more open and to greater equality. And it was interesting. And I wonder if it's because if I were to give him the benefit of the doubt, he did say in that clip that we just heard, I've only just found out about it. And maybe again, he was thinking on the hoof. But I think it's particularly interesting given that a few weeks before he had made some comments about diversity in film on HBO's Project Greenlight that had rightly caused a great deal of offense. And he had apologized for that. And he'd chosen not to apologize for this. And maybe he doesn't think that there's anything to apologize for, but in that case, I think if I were a global celebrity, which I'm not, but if I were, I think I would say, I'm sorry if I offended these people that I consider some of my best friends and who I've got nothing but respect for. And that would have just, you know, put a lid on it.
You are in Britain. I don't know if you have any, and you obviously do some Hollywood interviews. I don't know if you have any connections with Rupert Everett. I assume I'd be curious to know what he has to say about all of this, given that his name was so rightly, was mentioned.
I'd be fascinated too. I'd love to have connections with Rupert Everett. It's true that every British person should have connections with
you
Rupert
should.
Everett.
It's a small country. Why don't you know him, Elizabeth? No, but I would be very curious because I found it very interesting that he was sort of brought as the archetype, and that may well be true for his career, but it's certainly not his fault. I mean, there's almost a suggestion that because he suffered from prejudice, and I think most would agree that's true, that somehow he should have just gone in the closet. I mean, that implication, are we taking Matt Damon out of context to have that implication?
I think what Matt Damon was saying was, it's an imperfect world, and therefore it's harder to argue that he didn't take a hit for being out. But he didn't then go straight on to say, and sexuality should be a mystery. There was then a bit more talk about that, and then we moved on specifically to whether it's harder for gay actors to be out. It's interesting, Rupert Everett gets cited a lot, and I think it's because he is objectively an incredibly handsome man, and therefore the kind of man that one would expect to see playing leading roles in romantic comedies. And actually, the only quote-unquote romantic comedy he got was The Next Big Thing with Madonna, where he was playing her gay friend with whom she had a child. So I think that's why he gets cited. I mean, you could... Ian McKellen is openly gay, and arguably his career has not taken a hit, but he does slightly different roles.
Well, he plays... I think the answer is that people are okay with gay. When I say people, okay, I almost stepped into it, so I'm going to back off. I would say Hollywood's perception of the general audience. See how I just changed that?
Well, you
can correct yourself in an interview. But people need to know that, right? You start off on the wrong foot, just pull it back. Hollywood's the perception of too many Hollywood studios of the general audience is that a gay actor, a lesbian actor, can play an offbeat role. You can play a wizard in a fantasy piece. You can play the best friend. You can certainly play the comedic character, or even a serial killer, frankly. We can think of some movies like that. It's just the romantic leading role, the romantic heterosexual character leading role. And that's the part that's troubling, because obviously straight people can play the romantic gay leading roles. I mean, they don't restrict those roles to just gay actors. So why shouldn't the opposite be the case?
Exactly. And I think, I mean, we touched upon this earlier, that idea that studio bosses have a vision of who their audience is and what films are going to sell best. And I think it's also an issue for women, much less of one, but there's been very interesting work done on this. And the answer always is, you know, there's across the board in films, in extra scenes, it's only 17% women. So that cuts off women at a fifth of the world's population in the filmic world. And the answer...
That's because when you go into a restaurant, sitting at the other tables, it's only it's 80% of the time it's men.
Exactly.
You know, you go in the grocery store, you go into the bar, you know, you go into the parks and you wander around and, you know, in London, 80% of the people in the parks are male. Just, you know, it's just like on film.
Rupert Everett in London. It's like 80% Rupert Everett. But I think, and, you know, when challenged on this, the answer is often, yeah, but women... don't sell as extras.
Do people really care whether the couple in the table behind the actors is two men or two women or male and female? I mean, really?
I know. Well, this is, I mean, or female directors, there's that notion that, like, if you're a female director, that film won't sell in foreign territories. And well, and it's all very well
that may be true in Abu Dhabi, I don't know, but
I mean, we live in an imperfect world, Mark, but the only way that it's going to become more perfect is to challenge the system.
So let me ask you this. Let's try to end on a positive note, but I want you to tell me the truth, whatever it is. So here it is. It is 2015. The ultimate last question is, are we changing? Have we changed? Is Hollywood better than it was 10, 20, 30 years ago on this score? Or are we really still not that different from the days of Rock Hudson?
I think it's definitely better and it's definitely changing for the better. And I think the fact, I want to applaud Matt Damon for answering my question, because there are so many actors who wouldn't have done. There are so many actors who would have said no comment or said something really dull. And I think the fact that he was willing to engage in itself is a positive thing, and it triggered a vital debate. And the fact that we're having this debate right now is surely a sign of immense progress. And it's only by airing these issues that I think Hollywood will sit up eventually and take notice of what the audience wants.
There you go. That's the positive note I wanted to end on. You fell right into my trap, Elizabeth Day. Thank you very much for coming here on The Inside Scoop. And I'd love to have you back. I can't talk about the 2016 presidential race for an entire year. My listeners will have my head. So any kind of offbeat stories, please let me know about them. I'd very much like to have you back on the air. Thank you for coming.
It's been a pleasure. You know, I've written about Carly Fiorina, so...
Oh, well then you'll have to come back. Well, we will definitely get you back.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for coming here. So, folks, here's your chance to join the conversation. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. What's your thoughts on the Matt Damon interview, on Hollywood, on whether or not Hollywood reflects America or the world? And on Matt Damon, if you wish. Give me a call. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Now, just you and me, let's talk about this. Let's talk about Hollywood and gay actors and frankly, actors of any difference, and whether Hollywood still has this prejudice around or whether it's getting better. Matt Damon's comments, whatever you want to talk about. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to Kat Stone in Oregon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I really enjoyed listening to you. I wanted.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad you liked the interview. I thought Elizabeth was fantastic.
Yes. First of all, I guess the most important thing I want to say is I wish we could get to a place where people would consider the intent of what other people say and where we wouldn't be so eager to be criticized and to take affront at what people say and think about the intention of what they meant. I kind of agree with Matt Damon because wouldn't it be nice, and I bet you would agree with this too, if in Hollywood, for instance, and then every place else as well, if we could just go about our lives dealing with things that we think we need to deal with, and where we don't have to ask other people or get other people to reveal, actually what we're asking them is, who are you having sex with?
Okay, well, I come at what you say a bunch of different ways. I'm really glad you raised this, because there's a bunch of thoughts that come to my mind. The first thought that comes to my mind is Matt Damon appears to be a nice guy. I just want to say that. I think he means well. I certainly don't think he's actively homophobic or anything like that. I think that his comments are unfortunate for some reasons, but I don't, you're talking about his intent. I think his intent is good. So let me just throw that out there.
Yes.
And the first thing you say.
Right.
The second thing has to do with privacy and the fact that some artists prefer extreme privacy. And I actually gave two examples. I gave Harper Lee, the woman who wrote one of the best novels of American history, To Kill a Mockingbird, and then promptly went into seclusion for the next 50 years or so, did not write another book, and then only in her, and I'm sorry to say this, but it appears to be true from the press accounts, doddering old age, where I think the woman who really did not want this, I feel like they published the second book, her earlier writings of it, almost against her will. Again, I don't want to get the whole discussion on that, but it just seems to me this is a woman who very, very much valued her privacy, far more than most, frankly. Most artists want to get their work out there and want everyone to know all their details because they know that'll help publish their book or their movie or their art. This woman wanted to be quiet. And the other example I gave, partly because it's a completely different world, was Marshawn Lynch, the football player who very famously went to an interview, was required to be there or he would be fined. Those stupid Super Bowl interviews where they ask all these stupid questions. Do you want to win? Do you think you're going to win? And he basically, his answer was, I only am here because otherwise I'd be fined. And that's why I'm not a sports fan, came to know his name and actually found him appreciated and amusing because he was absolutely playing against type. So when it comes to Marshawn Lynch, when it comes to Harper Lee, if they want their privacy, God bless them. Give them all the privacy they want.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's turn it back to Matt Damon. The thing about Matt Damon that bothered me, though, was here was a guy who was actively talking about all those little stupid things that go on in celebrity magazines. Maybe he didn't want to do it, but he did talk about his wife. He talked about his four lovely daughters. He talked about his lovely home life. He went behind the curtain. He wasn't Harper Lee. He wasn't Marshawn Lynch. And it suggested to me he was saying, I can do that. But if you're a gay actor, maybe it's best that they know less about you. And that was the hypocrisy that I think he was called on.
Well, yeah, and I kind of understand what you're saying, but what I was saying before also is what goes with that is that we have this long history of oppression and discrimination that somehow we have to get past.
And it would be nice to get to that day. No, absolutely. Part of the problem is people. Yeah. Celebrity culture is we all want to know the details. I mean, you know, look at the King and Queen of England, and not really them, it's their kids, but you get the idea. Everyone wants to know every single detail about all of them in ways that, frankly, I was sympathetic to Diana. I didn't want the paparazzi all around. I mean, I understand the wish to privacy. I respect the need for privacy. But in terms of, you know, I don't need to know who an actor's sleeping with. Part of my point is that gay actors can play great straight roles. It's just that the idea that it's not clear what I'll give Matt Damon the benefit of the doubt, but I'm glad the issue was discussed because it's very important for people. Yes, it'd be great to live in a post-racial world. It'd be great to live in a post-sexual orientation world. It would be great to not notice those things. But because we're not there yet, I think we have to. And I think that when actors do come out, when Neil Patrick Harris came out and he was playing this, you know, womanizer on TV, I mean, it's heterosexual womanizer, came out as gay, didn't hurt his character, didn't hurt his role. I think he played a major step forward for, frankly, any gay actor or actress to be a little more open, a little more honest. Kat, I only got 30 seconds. All right, I'm running out of time. I'm sorry. I really enjoyed this discussion. Kat Stone, it sounds like you're a first-time caller. Please call in on other topics as well. I like to do unusual topics from time to time. Tomorrow, a more normal topic, as it were, although a very important one, having to do with income inequality and why it is so large and growing in America. Tune in tomorrow for more of The Inside Scoop.